Well, I'll jump right in the middle of it. It seemed like that this retreat started off a little slow compared to the last two. The last elders' retreat, we walked in that room and it was boiling. I mean boiling. And we were right there and we were there in intensity and I felt instantly the spirit and we were moving. But 2 years ago, it wasn't that way, and the different ones were having different experiences, and I'm talking about 2 years ago now, and Michael's was over in a big chair, and after a while, he began laughing in the spirit, and things were happening, and I was just not receiving, it seemed like, 2 years ago now. I wasn't really receiving. Everybody was receiving, it seemed like, one by one, not everybody, because down to the last day, there were still a dozen who hadn't, maybe, or four, five, or six, seven, eight, nine, ten. But Thursday night, the Spirit of God came down and took me up in revelation and visions. And Friday morning, I ended up having visions and experiences in God beyond anybody else had. But I didn't get it until Thursday night. And the same thing happened on this retreat. God used me the few times that I really ministered to other people. He gave me revelation. He was right there. He gave me discernment. He gave me great feelings. I was connected with God. I had revelation. I had discernment. I was feeling the pathos of the situation, and the beautiful results came from it, and it came right on in, and all of that. But as far as myself, I was in limbo, and I didn't know why I was in that limbo state, and it was a little bit slow getting started, but the Spirit of the Lord was there, and different ones were entering in, and more were entering in, Wednesday afternoon, it was a Thursday afternoon. We had a breakthrough. I think it was Wednesday afternoon. It was a kind of a breakthrough. Spirits had been fighting us a bit, although we were getting victories. And we had a breakthrough, and God did a marvelous thing among so many, many, many. But I was still in limbo. But Thursday night. Thursday afternoon, I get up and I said, now how many have not yet had an experience where you can say that you've been changed by this retreat? And I said, don't feel embarrassed. I haven't received. I said, I haven't been changed. I'm in limbo. I don't know why I'm here. I've done everything in the book and some things out of the book, you know. I know all the principles. I'm getting nowhere. Because, you know, this is something that God has to do. Or you can't do it. There's no way. He's way up there. We're way down here, just widow ourselves and nothing we can do to get there. And about that time, Brother Marvin Williams, sweet brother, precious brother, came up and he put his arm around me and said, we're going to pray for a pastor tonight, all of us together. And I appreciated that, but I was a little bit reticent because people had already blessed me by praying for me and I wasn't going anywhere. I mean, you know, they blessed me praying for me and I really wasn't traveling. And two of them had this wonderful fun praying for me. I didn't dare tell them I wasn't going anyplace. They thought it was marvelous. They were going and I was just staying there and they were going. But Thursday night, I walked in. And I think Nisa had started a song, and some others there, and Dan Lennis and others were with the song, and it's a small group, and we were just coming in from the eating hall, and that song caught me. Oh, it began to affect me. I began to be pulled fast. And that night, I was, before I was kind of making sure the different groups were being ministered to, different groups laid out on the floor there, and others of different classes around each one, and so we could get them going, and it was going beautifully. And it was up a little bit mechanical in that regard, but it was really, God was there, and it was really moving. And this thing began to pull me, and I walked over to Brother Mitt Williams, and I said, Brother, I said, this thing is pulling me. And I said, if I go under, I said, take care of the ship. Because I'm saying, I don't think I'm going to be out here just a short time. And my wife had told me that afternoon at the lunch table, dinner table, I guess, that evening, I'd mentioned that fact again, you know, that I wasn't going anywhere. I was a little bit of concern lest I come back, having no experience really in God to change my life. Not that it wasn't fitting God at all, of course, but I was just in this kind of limbo state. And she said, well, honey, tonight's your night. And that didn't mean anything more to me than the fact that you love me. But that night, when that song came, and I lay down on the floor, and within 20 seconds, I said, I begin to weep to the Lord, this is my night. And I knew that was the vehicle that God was going to take me there. And my, for 2 hours, I sang of heaven there. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. You know, for a couple of years now, 2-3 years, I have had dozens of intercessors and different ones receive visions of what God was going to do and take me, my wife and many others. And it seems so grandiose. You know, it just seemed like it was the superlatives and the grandiose. It seemed like it was way overthrown. Like there was no way. I mean, just like they're being super benevolent to me, you know, to throw all these tremendous, you know, like it was impossible, like it was, you know. And I'm going to tell you the experiences that I had. Now, in a way of speaking, and the reason I qualified is because a lot of the things that they showed me was going to experience had to do with the future ministry, but also in the heavenly, and also be lifted up in the heavenly realm. And a lot of what I saw there had to do with the future ministry. Nonetheless, what I received and where I went and what I saw was far more than all of those promises and visions put together, and that's the truth. I never dreamt that I had to have such experience. I have heard things that I told them, Bill, I could not share with the body at home or anybody else. I said, you know, I can't share some of these things. They'd be totally misunderstood in the realms, and, you know, you'd be totally misunderstood some things. But I'm going to endeavor. This, I don't have my notes here, honey. Are they in the cupboard? I've got the cover here. I remember a few more things. I got some notes here out of sequence. And I'll entitle this for the tape, The Heavenly Realm, A Vision Experienced by the Pastor. I saw things that were too holy and too wonderful and too heavenly to ever be adequately explained. I was wrapped in spirit, in vision, to the glories of that heavenly realm. And when I returned, I felt that human ears were too unworthy to hear of that realm. Now, what I'm telling you tonight, I want to promise you from the bottom of my heart, I may use adjectives and things that sound like superlatives. I want to promise you that everything I tell you, I mean actually, from the bottom of my heart, honestly, and there is no exaggeration or manner of speaking or hyperboles in what I tell you. What I am talking about, I am telling you actually. And so I'm not over, some people, when they get excited, you know, they overthrow and exaggerate a bit. I'm not doing that. Please remember that. You know, there are certain people that kind of like to, you know, play the game, you know, well, you wouldn't understand, it's too glorious for man, all that. But I am talking about something that is honestly very real. I felt that human ears were too degraded and carnal and unworthy to hear of that realm. That's how I felt, because the holiness of the situation of that realm was still upon me. And I related a number of these experience things to Brother Williams there that night and a few others. Just a few of the things, a few of them. I almost had a disdain for human ears when I came back. It just, you know, almost like I despised human ears. Not despising human hearts, you know what I mean, but just the realm. I need my glasses. Would you get those for me, please? There's no way to ever communicate that realm. It's totally different than this realm. Totally different in every regard. Not just a different scenery, but the realm is different. God gave me, God let me know that no man had entered that highest realm that I saw. Now, I'm aware that I put myself liable for accusations of people and various things when I make some of these statements. And some of them I make at risk, but maybe in a month from now I wouldn't make these statements I'm making now, but and some things I won't say. But God let me know that He allowed me to experience things that no man has ever seen. God has let me know that. And I don't, that is not, it has nothing to do with me as a, you know, my worthiness or anything. I think that it has something to do with what God wants to do with certain truths in the future to mankind. That's the only reason that I can know that. Now, I am not denying that other men have had experiences I haven't had, but he's allowed me to have experiences that no one has ever had. Now, this realm is beyond the visions. It's beyond visions that we see of glorious colors and light and regal splendor, where you see the king's robes and there's no garment like that on earth and the light shining from it and all the things that happen. See, it's beyond that realm entirely. It's entirely beyond that realm. I've been in those realms and visions, and they're marvelous. And that's for almost everybody. In fact, everyone that I know has traveled in that realm. Those that have been allowed to see heaven have seen it in that realm. They've seen it in a lower realm. Well, I'm talking about a knowledge of realms tonight that maybe by the time I get through, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And when God allows people to see heaven or see whatever, you are seeing it in a realm that he allows. You're seeing it in this realm, or you're seeing it in this realm, or you're seeing it in this realm. And most have seen it in the realm of visions. They have been transported by the Spirit in vision, and they've seen it in visions like I have seen it in visions, and others have seen things in visions. I've seen the Son of Man come down the stairs, and I've seen three rows of angels bow their wings and bow like dominoes as he came down the stairs. And I have been in experiences and experienced these things in that realm. But this is beyond the realm of color and shape and size. There's no dimensions there. You see there without natural eyes. You are not seeing with natural eyes. These eyes relate to this earth where you see light enter and relate on the brain, and you're seeing with natural eyes. You're seeing shapes and colors and dimensions. There you see by experiencing and knowing. There's no shapes. There's no colors. That belongs to a material realm. Seems at first to be inferior maybe to seeing, but it's much better than seeing with natural eyes. Because natural eyes see shapes and colors, but they see without experience and without knowing. In other words, you see somebody in front of you and you can't experience them. You can experience what they say to you, what happened, but you don't really experience all there is to them. Neither do you know all there is to know of them. And you're limited. All vision is a very limited vision down here. All we can see is what's on the outside, how it looks. But that isn't how it really is. And we're only seeing, even how it looks, is a false. It's been transmitted to us through a false transmitter because we don't see the whole light spectrum of even what is material. And in that realm, you experience and know, and you call it seeing. It's a very thorough, adequate seeing, a very superior seeing. You see and you know. You see objects, you know, because you're still not seeing it as it really is, but this is the realm he allows you to see it in. You're seeing things, but you're not seeing. When you get done, you couldn't describe any of it as to shape or color. It doesn't relate to that realm. It isn't in that. It is not a material substance, so there's no way of relating it in that realm. You don't see that way. And it's not a disadvantage. There's no loss without color or shape. And it cannot, therefore, be adequately communicated to man, because the only way we can communicate to man something is in the realm of the material, size, shape, the type of thing, or certain feelings that we have here. But these are experiences and knowledge that cannot be transmitted to those who don't have that same experience and knowledge. There's no way you can transmit the wonderful falling in love to your 5-year-old children, because they do not have the capacity, they're not in the position to understand it, and all the words you use fail to communicate really what you're talking about. They can relate it only to their love of security in you or something along this line. Besides, once I returned, as it were, I was unable to relate anymore to what I saw when I saw it in the same way. I was back in this realm again, and I myself was unable, although I had memories, I was unable to relate it because I wasn't in the same realm. I wasn't the same being that I was there, so I'm unable to speak in the same vein. I can tell you this, that no one visualizes God the Father or the Son of God or heaven anywhere close. I can promise you that. Nowhere close. It's an entirely different system and realm. I had visualized the glorified Son of God. You know, the glorified Adam, glorified man, the man Christ you glorified. And I visualized him as the Son of Man that I've seen in visions. I mean, what is a glorified man? Well, we know what man is. Now he's glorified. How do you project that? What do you put on him to make him glorified? I mean, I've seen him in visions, with those burning eyes and a glorious realm, and you feel his presence, and you see him coming down the stairs, and he's coming to you, and you bow yourself, and you we don't know really what glorified man is, do we? Be glorified. We don't know really what that means to be glorified. We're not in that realm. And so we make the glorification of man is awfully puny in our own imaginations, because we don't know how to make him. And all my visualizations of the Son of Man were so inadequate. And I saw him there. And oh, the majesty, the authority, the glory, the beauty of the Son of God, the man, Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about God. I'm not talking about his deity. And I saw there the distinctions of the Father and the Son so clearly. And I'm talking about the Son. I'm talking about the Son of Man, glorified. You know, the man of Nazareth, glorified. And I saw the distinction so clearly all the way along. And yet, there was a place at the end, and I was singing these things in the place at the end, where I saw and glorified them as one. In a very marvelous, unique sense. I had revelations in that was there. And these revelations don't deal with new doctrines concerning that or new things to tell you. There's not much new to tell you. The revelations come by the experience, so that you feel things in a different realm. But when we see a vision of the Son of Man glorified, it's only an extrapolation and translation of a different dimensional system to our world of weights and measures and distance and time. And that's what all visions are. And that we've seen. And there the dimensions are timeless spiritual experiences with knowledge in a completely different viewpoint and feeling. An example, there's no ego over there. There's no ego. When I was there, I said things I wouldn't dare say in this realm and could not say. And I could say things way up in this realm about myself and the things that only a fool here on earth could ever say. But you see, there was no ego there. There was no self-abasement there. I had been in visions where I'd bow before the Son of Man at the bottom of the stairs as he came down. But now that I saw him in a higher realm where it wasn't visionary, there, I did not have any feeling of bowing prostrate, unable to communicate or to look him in the eyes. There was nothing there of any only saved by grace and unworthy totally. And there was no self-limitations there. There was no limitations. And it was in a different realm, in a realm where when you're in that realm, you've been brought to a place where you don't have to, the rest of your life, go a self-abasement route and center on earth route. There's none of that feeling there whatsoever. You're in a very high position there with full acceptance and recognition of it. And there's no ego and no self-abasement. I said things there I would never say down here. I said at one time when God was going to allow me to go into another realm, and you see there you go into realms, you slip from one realm to another without going through a door. You don't change rooms like in a vision. You don't go from one place to another. There's no dimensional system. You move from one realm to another realm, and you're in another realm. You move from one realm to another realm, and it doesn't matter if you're going anywhere. And it's not a matter of you staying either. There's no such thing as staying or going. There's no such thing as place there. And I go to different realms, and I said, and I sang the songs, I dare to go into realms where man has never gone, into the awesome presence of God the Father, because I'm in the Son of God. See, I sang songs that were too profound to ever understand and say on this type of earth. How can any man dare say, I dare to go into the realms of God the Father? You can't talk like that unless you're a senseless idiot. But in that realm, I dare to go in there with complete peace because I had the revelation I was in the Son of God. A statement only the fool could make on this earth. Besides, no one on earth knows what it means to be in the Son. See, when we say we're in the Son, we think of legally I'm in the Son because of what Jesus did on Calvary. Or mystically, as they say, I'm in the Son. Meaning, in some spiritual sense, each one being a mystical, as they say, member of the body of Christ in a mystery. Somehow, God means that we all together make up his body, mystically, we say. And that's the only two realms we really understand of being in the Son. But that realm, when I said I was in the Son, I didn't mean any of those two things. I meant that this was an experience in unity that was not understood here. Now here, when we think of unity, we think of unity as agreement. We have a unity, we agree. But there, that is not what I meant at all. That unity there, it was a oneness of being. A oneness of being. Now, not visually, we were not visually one. And we were not separately two. But we were experientially one in essence. But I was clearly subordinate. Clearly subordinate. But not as two beings, a subordinate one and a superior one. But not as two beings going, as one being. As we were going as one being. I was in the Son, going as one being, although it was clear that his awesome authority and presence was so great in heaven. I tell you, because man has been given dominion over the earth, and man has fallen, and one man has kept the law, and God has highly exalted him, he has got great authority. Angels bow before him to hell. I sang over and over and over and over again the love of the Son of God, the revelation of the Son of God, the love of the Son of God. I tell you, I no more can think of him as a sparkling man of Nazareth. The Son of God there is an awesome one. I wept and wept and wept. I sang his love over and over and over and over again. The theme was to carry the love of God the Father and of the Son of God to man down below. All and over again, the sent call to give them the love, to show them the love, and to show them the truth. And over again, I sang and I sang. I must have sang that for an hour. It was so beautiful and wonderful. I just couldn't help but cry and weep as I saw and experienced the things in that realm. Now, I saw the Son of God, and I fell in love with him. I fell in love with him. I saw. And when I say I saw, understand I'm talking about experienced with knowledge, and that's an inadequate statement. His magnificence and his splendor and his great authority. But I didn't see him with robes of earthly kings. I didn't see him with robes of heavenly kings. I didn't see him with colors and shapes, but by a spirit experience and knowledge. And that sounds inadequate. It sounds like a blind feeling. But it's the true seeing in the spirit realm. His eyes burned with eyes of love, with love of fire, eyes of fire. He burned with fire of love for me. And that doesn't really equate with all realms very well, because we don't usually think of fire as being something involving with love. We usually think of fire as being something you kind of turn away from, and fire is the eyes of judgment of fires, and you have to turn your eyes away from the fires, you know. But he eyes with fire of love for me. Love for me. And I did not have to bow my head in shame and cover my face with a veil. I could look him right in his eyes. And yet, I could not tell you one thing I saw there as far as color, dimension, or shape, or anything. Again, and I knew that he loved me greatly. And I knew that he did not love me just because he is God. I'm talking about the Son of Man glorified. I knew he did not love me because he is love and he loves all. That was not the reason for that love. Now, that's true, but that was not the reason. He did not love me because I was forgiven. Now, that's true, but that wasn't the reason. He did not love me because I was God's creation and God's son. That's true, but that was not the reason. He did not love me because I lived well and did well. That maybe isn't true. But because within my spirit, which has admittedly been blocked by evil spirits and bound and immature and all attacked by the devil and all the rest, but within my spirit, I saw there was a jewel of his making, of great beauty and value to him. This is something not seen by man. You see, we tend to think, well, he loves us because we're forgiven. Or we love us because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us, no sin has been imputed to him. This is all true, but that's why he loves us. And we tend to think, you know, well, we're not really lovely, so he loves us because he's so great. And we do everything but understand. And then someday we'll venture to say, well, he loves us because we are, you know, we are his lovely bride and a jewel, and we are his father. And yet the mind staggers at saying, well, you know, but, you know, how can we really be that because we're not anything? But really, there is in our spirit a jewel of his making. It's got nothing to do with what the demons do or how we feel or how we're bound or what we can't see in this realm or anything else. There's a jewel there that we haven't noticed and haven't seen and cannot perceive because of the environment we're in and the whole situation, the whole demonic pressure and all valuables, everything here, we cannot see that. And I saw he loved me, and not in a condescending way, but of a great jewel that was in here, in my heart, in my spirit, that he loved, and he loved it. He loved it. And it did a lot, because, you know, I have been guilty a little bit at some letting the spirits kind of demean me, you know, and myself, you know, and feeling unworthy, and demean me, you know, and even say words out of my mouth, you know, a little bit demeaning. But in that realm, I saw, and you see, it's easy for that realm to say that, because in that realm, because there's no ego there. When you say it there, it isn't here, you know, you don't hardly dare say it, you know. But there, you can say it, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. There's no values of earning. There's no grace. It's not a matter of grace. I'm not denying that grace isn't involved in heaven and all that, but I'm just saying there's no feeling of unmerited favor or forgiven. I didn't experience any of that. I experienced that when you're in that realm, you are now worthy. Everything else is away. You've been made by God. You're fully accepted, and you're living in the present accepted stage in that glorious realm with nothing to do with your past. It's a present, positional, joyous experience. I sang his love for an hour there, and I sang of me receiving from him the revelation of his love to man beneath, and a whole lot of different applications of his love and his truth to fallen man. I sang, Bill, one thing I sang is, Lord, put your sword within my hand and give me the love and the wisdom to use it. And then the thing that was so important to me was, and the restraint. And the restraint. I was asking him for an unusual power. And I was asking him of power in the sword, which is a destructive thing. And I was asking to help me to use, give me that sword, but with that sword to give me the love and the wisdom and the restraint to use it. Because you can't give a kid an atomic weapon. So you can't give somebody something that powerful. And God does not want to give us gifts so powerful that we destroy ourselves and others by them and call down fire out of heaven upon some others, you know, and use things for our group against their group. And so I said, give me the love and the wisdom and the restraint to use it. And I've asked for unusual power. I do not yet know how this experience in the spirit realm is going to impact my life here pleasantly and how fast it develops and what's going to happen. I do not yet understand or know that, but I've experienced some things and there are some precious promises relating to this somehow in the future, some way in the ministry before he comes. Not when I say somehow, some way, I don't mean by that that I don't have any idea. I know some of the elements involved. That's all I know, just some of the elements. I don't know how or anything in that order. And I saw this in connection with the two advancements of the ministries that God showed me in previous visions, how that I saw the collar and the sleeve and so forth, and I knew it was an office that he was going to give me. And then later I saw another one. I knew it was a higher office, and he showed me that the first office was coming before the next office. I saw, I sang that in relationship to those two offices. In this realm, I saw a certain realm, and then I saw a higher realm later with the other office. And I also, at that time, was praying and felt. I didn't see anything, but I was praying and I felt, and I had a great assurance in the matter, of God burning what my wife saw in a vision as a brown coat. My wife saw me clothed in a brown coat. And this brown coat was a lovely coat, but it was brown. It was brown, it wasn't black. See, it wasn't diabolical and sinful and filthy. It wasn't white. It was brown because it wasn't white. It had the human element in it. And this represented my love. See, God has given me love, but I can't execute it perfectly. It's a brown love. It's not a white love. And she saw me, him take this brown coat off and put on a beautiful, masculine, white coat with large diamond studs all over it, representing a pure, perfectly spiritual, heavenly love. I think like that love that I felt when I was superimposed on Jesus, you know. And I practiced that, you know, for about 6 months. I mean, that meant so much to me. I kept practicing it, and I have been changed by that. And I've had many people tell me, even just listening from outside, I can see that you've been changing. And some way, I don't know how, some way I just all of a sudden, after about 6 months, it just seemed like imperceptibly without realizing it, I quit. I didn't mean to quit. It just kind of ran out some way. And now, you know, I have to come back to that place of practicing that again. And I sang there as I talked about so much of the song was concerning the love of the Son of God and of the Father to man below. And everything was now in new realms of up here and down below. And I said, Father, tell me and I will go. Just tell me and I will go to show you and give all your truth and your love to show. Just tell me. And I will go. And I felt that. And I felt the majesty of God and the power. Just, at that moment, it would have been so easy to go to all the earth and tell of his love. And all I'm going to do is tell of his love and the grand of his love and the magnificence of his being. And now I find myself inadequate again. I saw the present life of man on planet Earth as like a great, thin vertical sheet of rice paper out in space as a transitional, temporary, artificial, two-dimensional system of unreality. It was all false appearances, you know, which everything we see is really false appearances in the scientific realm. But it seemed like it was nothing but a thin sheet, a vertical time-space continuum of an artificial life, transitory, transitional, kind of a nothingness, meager unreality that we have to live in for a time. And up there was timeless reality, so full and so real. Everything, see, down here we think of, well, this is normal down here and it's kind of strange up there. But in that realm I felt like, this is so marvelous and full. This is reality. That is an artificial unreality down there. So weak and debased. I received revelations that I cannot transmit. No one will receive or understand some things. And these are not doctrinal things. They're not biblical ones. But they're experiential ones of that realm, and God's calling for me. And I don't have a lot to say. And I don't have, there isn't a lot there. But just, it's impossible to really fully relate this in the way that I could receive it there, because I can't even speak of it here that way. It couldn't be received or fully understood. And I'm not going to try. But much of what I saw there was in the future for me here below. And my perspective changed from the normal there, from the normal here to the, and strange up there to reality up there and false reality and degrading quality here. And I sang with angels there, and I played, an angel hand me his lyre, and I played upon that harp up there, and I sang with angels there. And it was wonderful. And I also sang with the blood-washed throng of saints. You see, but they're not up there yet. It doesn't make any difference. It's timeless. Totally timeless. That makes absolutely zero difference. I sang with you up there and all the saints of God. I did that. I sang with them there. And you know, you remember I brought you some lessons about how God views things in the timeless realm, you know. I understand it even better now. But I was right in that. And to us, it's hard, you know, to really understand that. But that doesn't make any difference there. It doesn't make any difference. You can. It's kind of like Dr. Wooming's time machine. You can be projected in any realm you want to. Time makes no difference there. And I saw and I sang that angels do not dare to whisper there. When God the Father speaks, they fold their wings and hide their eyes. And I wept and I wept and I wept. If I could have explained this to you, you know, just as I came out of it, it would be more marvelous. I'm kind of going by my notes right now to stay in tune. It's kind of restricting me a bit. But oh, I saw them bend down to the feet and cover their eyes with the wings. I couldn't tell you the size of the wings. I couldn't tell you the shape of the wings. I couldn't tell you the color of the wings. I saw and experienced, but there was no shape. But see, it wasn't like there was. I just felt something, but couldn't see anything. I was blind. Didn't know if they had any. I knew what they had though. And you understand what I saw in that realm. I did not go there, and my spirit did not actually leave my body and go there, as far as I know now. But what happened is, I felt myself lying upon the floor. My soul, I had a soul still. And my soul felt through this body, felt myself lying on the floor. And I knew that my body was lying here on the floor. My soul was in it. I was in a trance. And I didn't leave in the spirit. My spirit wasn't there, my body here. I knew where I was. But my spirit, I was transported in the spirit there in vision. And I was experiencing all these things in my spirit. And I was singing them with my mouth. And the soul was singing it in this body. My brain was still in here and it still could think. And I sang. And what I sang is with words that were commensurate with a solical vision. I had a vision of things like I'd received before, and like you receive. And I was singing these things in relation to the vision, but I was experiencing them in a sightless experience in the spirit over there on that other side. His name is Moses indeed. I asked the Father to show me the Son. At one point, I said, Father, show me the Son. And all of a sudden, he showed me the room of the elders and intercessors and wives built, that very room where we were, and said, there is the Son. There's the Son. Now, what he meant by that, for you that don't understand, is that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is more than the glorified man of Nazareth. He is all that is composed of his body. And we are the body of Christ. And he was not trying to imply that only that room was his Son. But he didn't say a part of the Son, because there's no parts over there. They were the Son. And they're the Son too. But they're not part of the Son. He didn't come in pieces. They're the Son. It's an essence, a unity of essence. And then God told me that me glorifying you here is glorifying the Son of God. In glorifying you, I'm glorifying the Son of God. And he let me know that every one of us, when he glorifies us, and as he glorifies us, he's glorifying the Son. And herein is the Son glorified, that he bring forth much fruit. And he's not talking about sinners legally saved by grace walking in sin on planet Earth. He's talking about spiritual fruit of those who are walking in heavenly places with Christ Jesus and glorifying God the Father in their lives. And he is showing me that when he glorifies us, he is glorifying the Son, because the Son died for us, for God the Father. He died, was put into the earth, and was resurrected to bear much fruit. And if he doesn't bear much fruit, the Son of God is not glorified. He can't have a kingdom. He can't be king without a kingdom. And as we come into that spiritual realm and love relationship, regardless of our sins and weaknesses and demons, but as we come into his realm and love him in this realm and are glorified in this realm, then he is glorified by being expanded. And then he has not died in vain, but he is bringing forth and expanding. I realize tonight, as I bring you all this, that I am bringing it in such an inadequate way, but now that I am here again as I am, there's no other way I know how to really bring this. I can't bring it right, so I'm just bringing it the best that I can. I sang what I saw in the words of visions of this realm. I sang of climbing stairs of light and huge golden doors with a golden knob. It's in a sortical vision. I sang of a vision of a dark blue sky. I saw silver dust in a dark blue sky. And I knew that silver dust were the stars in that great inky black sky up there. And I saw, as it were, his hand separate, this at the beginning, so as the hand was separate that great white dust. And I sang of him at the helm guiding the ship. I knew it wasn't a ship that went through water. Guiding a ship through that starry blue sky into that heavenly realm. I sang of a vision, part of the vision. And what I'm talking about now is, you see, these are solical visions that had dimensions to them. You could see things, objects, and color. I saw that. But that wasn't what I was experiencing in that spiritual realm. And I saw that and sang of that. And the lover was involved, because I saw the universe out here as a great giant rounding going down with great clouds down below. It's all symbolical, of course. I saw the universe. I saw the edge of the universe. And I saw in symbolical form, I saw no shape here as far as that, but I saw the Lord with his hand upon this ends of the universe, and it was a giant helm when I saw him guiding the universe with a helm. And I wept because I realized in a stronger sense than I've ever realized before He's guiding the universe. He had a hold of the ends of the universe, and it was a helm he was guiding to glory. Hallelujah. I feel like, because I'm so tied to my notes, I'm not letting myself slip into that realm and able to explain it with the you know, emotions and the feeling that I need to. I feel so inadequate tonight. But these, you see, were only human counterparts. Like in the book of Revelation, you know, you see the New Jerusalem, and you see, you know, gate of the great pearl, and you see all this. See, that's all that is. It's just a human counterpart. It's just an extrapolation and a translation from one realm into another realm so it could be understood in this realm. It's not what it is at all over there. The overwhelming theme of that evening with me was the love for the Son and giving it to men below, and also His truth. And the Lord promised to give me truths that He has not given to man before. And you see, I don't say these things to magnify myself or put myself up. I'm not saying He's not going to give some other men truths that He's not going to give to me. I'm sure He will. But I didn't see that part. I just saw that He was going to give me truths that He has not given to men before. I sang these things. And there's no, in that realm when you sing these things, there's no feeling of greatness or anything like that. You don't relate to that. There's no feeling of you're greater than others, you're going to do something or not, or this, or there's no feeling of that. That's totally out of that realm. I saw God the Father give to the Son of God things to give to me in that realm. Now, I came back as a word of planet Earth and the Spirit, and I experienced an enormous post-vision blues, so to speak. Tremendous letdown. I went around staggered. All I could do all night was, it was almost like I was speaking negative all night, but all I could do, I had three huge disappointments. The realm was so glorious, the disappointment was so terrible coming back, and it was not disappointed that I came back, because that was well understood when I was there. I knew I was coming back. The whole thing dealt with the message of me, the man below, with the love of the Son of God, and God the Father, and the truths of God, and send me the Father, and I will go. And I knew I was coming back. I knew that was transitory and all of that. But the disappointments, in ascending order, the weakest ones first. The first one was the disappointment of the shabbiness of this, open my eyes and what I saw. My first reaction is, I can't tell anybody, their ears are unworthy. And that didn't relate to me being some great place, pride, and man, you know, they'll blow me, because they wouldn't blow me. It's just that the whole carnal realm down here was a different realm than that holiness. And everything would look so shabby. I looked at the walls of that place. I thought, this is so shabby. I felt like I've been put in concentration camp. This is terrible. I mean, I felt like, I don't mean this wrong, but I felt like I was down in some old village in Mexico, you know. I felt like this is a fourth class. This is horrible, you know. I just kind of felt all the time that this is, you know, I just thought, this is terrible down here. I don't like it. And I felt strange all the rest of the night. I just felt strange. I wandered around kind of almost like I was disoriented in I've been on a vacation and come back, and all I had is a memory, and I was back here. It like was a fantasy. It's gone. And here I am. And here's all this, you know, and who wants this? And I kept saying things like, I wish I never came back. My wife hugged me and said, honey. And the second disappointment, which was worse yet, was I was not the same. I was not the same. I felt like I'd been terribly demoted. It was just like, it was almost like I was a janitor and they came and took the broom out of my hand and put a beautiful suit on me and took me up and made me president of an enormous corporation, and they gave me medals and took pictures and did all this and instituted me, and then took all of it away from me down and put me back in the janitor again. It was all gone, you know. I received such, you know, it was such glory there, and what he said, and the things that I, you know, promotions, the things that he there that happened that I won't go into. And then I came back, and I wasn't the same anymore. I didn't have the power. I kept looking at myself. I felt so tiny and cute and skinny and puny. I kept looking at my arms and saying, what is so, you know, I didn't know I looked like this, you know. This is terrible, you know. And I kept feeling so puny and so scrawny. So, you know, I kept feeling, not that I was big and powerful. That isn't the kind of feeling I had over there. But, you know, I felt like, I thought up there, I knew I was coming back, I thought that I would be the same when I came down. And I thought now that I've received all this and I was in this station, that now I could bring this love to men here below, all over the earth. And there was no feeling of grandeur or anything like that. There was no feeling of greatness. It was just I felt that was the way I was. And I felt that, you know, I didn't know I was going to come back to this lousy form. I thought that I would be able, you know, to be like I was, not be changed to this. And it was I was just so disappointed. My wife, maybe, you know, mine was a little bit staggered by the words that came out of my mouth, but I was going through a shock, you know. I was kind of a shock system coming back, and it just seemed like I had no ability. I was so weak. I was so helpless. It seemed like I couldn't do at all anything. I couldn't do what I knew I could do so easily. And not only that, what made it even worse is I was about 100 times below when I left. Because when I left, you know, I felt, well, you know, reasonably adequate. I knew I couldn't do all God's plan out there, but I had confidence that God would help me, and, you know, I accepted myself and the role in life, and I knew that everything was too big for me, but I knew God would take care of it. I felt pretty good. And then when I got there, you know, then all of a sudden I was equipped, and I came back. It just, the difference made me feel like I'm so helpless and worthless and everything's so lousy, I couldn't do anything, you know. It was a total letdown. And then the third disappointment was the experience didn't have the expected impact on me afterwards. You know, I thought, you know, after that experience, you'd be changed for life, you know, for the hell of the rapture. I mean, you know, that would be on you. And I felt like the vision, I've had visions. I've had 2-3 visions that I felt like that were much lower than this, a completely different realm, that I felt like had much more impact on me than this last night in that position, you know. And I felt like they stayed with me for months and they helped me a lot. All of a sudden, it was just like everything was gone. It was all out of me. Like nothing was left. You know, I took a vacation, I was back home, and now you're without any money, and your vacation's by, and you don't have it anymore, and it's gone. Now you have a few memories, you lost it, see? And here I was, feeling like it didn't even impact me, you know? I felt, here I am down here with no ability, I don't feel anything, I'm just, here I am, see? And I made a guess a little later on as to the reason for that, and I guessed that the Lord said, and this is a pure guess, and maybe totally wrong, but I guessed, only thing I could come up with, is that the Lord was saying, I have promised you for a long time that I was going to take you into certain experiences. And I wanted to take you that to show you that I love you, and the devil was lying to you. And I'm going to take you, I want you to understand things about me, revelations, so that I don't look to you anymore in this little bit false human realm, but you now have a more profound understanding. And all this profound understanding, it can't be properly transmitted or received, because it was just like me being, you know, superimposed on Jesus Christ and feeling the love, but how does anybody else really, you know, how can you transmit that really? And I know when I brought that, Lanny said that meant more to him and everything happened at that retreat. And he got a revelation of God's love for him. And, I guess it wasn't that one. I guess it was the vision. Well, I felt his hands, you know, and I felt the desperate need of him. And that has been a great help to him and all this, but you still can't adequately, because he never felt it. There's no way he can feel what I feel. And although I can't still feel that the same way, I have something in here of the profoundness of that, and I have something left that puts it in a different understanding now. And I have many things now with a different understanding than I had before. Not that I was wrong. It was just that it was totally inadequate to explain the realm. I didn't come back with any doctrinal changes. Just in, now I understand in ways I never understood before. Now I understand what Jesus meant. What the Bible says when it talks about Christ, you know, being one with the Father. Now I understand that. This is not talking about a unity because he just obeyed him, you know, real well and all of this. Or it's not because of some, you know, it's in this realm that I obeyed him, you know, real well and all of this. Or it's not because of some, you know, it's in this realm that I'm talking about. There's a, you can understand, like I was one with Jesus Christ there and I could enter that realm. There's a different realm. And so I guess that God was saying, I wanted you to understand things, and I wanted you to understand some things about the future, and it may be a while before some things happen, and things may get worse before they get better. And I want you to hold on to this, and I want to give you these promises, but I don't want you to have the advantage that others don't have. I took you places and showed you things far beyond, and you know what others have received. And I don't want you to come back the same as you were up there. I can't give you that in this realm. And I can't let you keep everything you had. You cannot keep it. When you come to this realm, there's no way to keep it. It's a different realm. You lose it. There's no way to carry it back, yo. There's no way to carry it back. You may have a vision to be impacted by it in your soul and in your mind because of it, and it may stir you and do something, but there's no way to carry back what you have there into a different realm. And I suspected he was saying, you know, and he can't carry it across the realm, but I don't want you to have something of an advantage over others. See, God could take us all to heaven for live there a week and take us all to hell and, you know, and be there a week, you know, in the spirit, and come back and say, now live the life, you know, and I'll see how you're going to live. But he doesn't want us to have that advantage. He wants us to live by the book. And I suspect he said, now you're going to live like everybody else right down here in this old puny lousy world, and you're going to go by faith. See, and you've had some experiences, but I'm going to take away the tremendous advantage of that experience. If I could keep all that, I'd have an advantage over you. That'd be tremendous. But I'm going to take it away from you. So you can't have the advantage anymore. It's like John the Baptist who knew of Christ, and he was gone. He didn't know anymore anybody else after a while. You've lost it, see. You've lost that thing. Now, this is going to have some impact upon my life, and I know what I must do now. I know that I must continue to endeavor to love him more and more and be in that realm. I know that, you know, I'm not going to be able to slip back in it when I want to. You know, I know that I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not saying I'm not going to be able to slip, you know, at times into portions of it, into the heavenly realms, the heavenly places, because I know he wants that. I know he wants me to be one day be, you know, continually in a heavenly realm, but I don't think I'm going to be in that kind of a realm. I don't think. I don't really know what God's going to do in the future. He might take me there and show me even more next time. I don't know, but I think I'm destined to a lot of things down. I've come down from the mountain now, and I think I'm going to walk down here in the desert. And what I've got to do is now to begin to implement here, just with what we've got in this realm, what I saw and experienced there, and to try to bring the love of God and to put myself in that place. I've still got to fight demons. I'm still the same person. When I was coming out of this, and I lay on the floor for a while because it was so wonderful. This thing was still upon me so a lot, but I was coming back out, and I wondered if I could ever do anything mundane again. I wondered if I could play a game. I wondered later as I came out of it, you know, if I ever be able to do it. I mean, you know, it didn't bother me if I couldn't. I just wondered if I ever could do anything mundane again. I wondered if I could, you know, ever tell a joke again. You know, not that I want to, but I just wonder if I did. Then later, we had to go and tell people to, you know, get those sheets and everything and linen and put it outside the door. And I knocked on Ruth McKenzie's door, and I said, would you please turn the TV down? And he burst out laughing. We didn't have any TVs. But that just jumped out. You know, I didn't go there planning to say it. You know, I mean, I got some kind of a streak down there, you know, that just jumps out. And here I found myself, still the same old character, you know. So anyway, I've taken a lot of time of tonight, but I trust that it's done something in your heart. And as I was telling others that night, I just kept crying all the time, and I was able to give it to you without crying, not that that's any advantage, but I love you. And although God has saved, but see, the Lord showed my wife, he gave her one vision, and showed that we were together, that he put his arm around me, and he took me on beyond where she was, and he let her know that he was going to take me places that she would not go. And my wife has been in the spirit. She has been hiding away in that prayer room for years. And she said she got a bird to slip into the spirit, you know, just like that. And she's been in many realms that I have never been in. I have been spiritually jealous of my wife, not in the bad sense. I've appreciated everything she's had. I haven't been hurt by it, goaded by it, worried about it. There's been no problem. But I have longed to have what she has. And I've told her many times, honey, I would love to experience what you're experiencing. And God has enabled her over and over and over and again to have put in love. I've had a lot of marvelous things. I've been some places she hasn't. I'm in the spirit. I've done some things she hasn't. But she has an ability to be in those certain places in God. But he's taken me someplace I know that she's never been. And she's mentioned that. She wanted me to tell you. And before I said, you know, home, I said, I can't tell them that. You know? But I have. But I know she's done something unique. And I don't want you to go out and cast pearls before swine and have them turn around and rend you and have them come back and say, oh, cult leader, be wild, you know, he's off on this type of thing and this and all this. All I know, I'm not going to make any deal over any of this. I'm not going to walk as a result. See, I can't live here what happened there. I mean, if it's right, God will do it. If he wants to do it, and if he doesn't, that's up to him. I got to start here and move here, and it's not going to affect me in any way. There's no feeling of bigness. I feel littler than I've ever felt in my entire life. I don't feel big. I feel tiny. And I feel smaller than before. I feel more humble than before. I just love him. I love him. I know that you're not going to go in that same place. But I want you to know he has a spiritual realm for every one of you. And I don't want to steal somebody else's thunder. And I would like, I think Vicky, maybe later to, it was so beautiful to hear what happened to her for a couple of hours. She slipped out too to her realm. And it was wonderful. And about Thursday, and then this morning, the Lord dealt with us for on the eldership, you know, to come and repent for various things within each other and relationships and various things. And the ministers got up and they wept and put in their hearts and opened up. And God did a beautiful thing, Dale. Beautiful thing. And we knew that was paving the way for something else. And we could have had another day, though, after that. I think the glory of God would come down beyond measure. Praise the Lord.